Exodus chapter 20, this is God's holy word. And God spoke all these words. I am the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself an idol in the form of anything, in heaven above or on the earth beneath or in the waters below. You shall not bow down to them or worship them. For I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, punishing the children for the sin of the fathers to the third and fourth generation of those who hate me, but showing love to 1,000 generations of those who love me and keep my commandments. You shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God, for the Lord will not hold anyone guiltless who misuses his name. Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, neither you nor your son or daughter, nor your manservant or maidservant, nor your animals, nor the stranger, the alien within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them. But he rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. Honor your father and your mother, so that you may live long in the land the Lord your God is giving you. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not give false testimony against your neighbor. You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife, or his manservant or maidservant, his ox or donkey, or anything that belongs to your neighbor. When the people saw the thunder and lightning and heard the trumpet and saw the mountain in smoke, they trembled with fear. They stayed at a distance and said to Moses, "Speak to us yourself, and we will listen. But do not have God speak to us, or we will die." Moses said to the people, "Do not be afraid. God has come to test you so that the fear of God will be with you to keep you from sinning." The people remained at a distance while Moses approached the thick darkness where God was. The grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of our God stands forever. Amen. Psalm 115 gives a description of idols, the false gods that people have made and worshipped. And this is what it says. Their idols are silver and gold made by human hands. They have mouths, but cannot speak. Eyes, but cannot see. They have ears, but cannot hear. Noses, but cannot smell. They have hands, but cannot feel. Feet, but cannot walk. Nor can they utter a sound with their throats. Those who make them will be like them. So will all who trust in them. All you Israelites, trust in the Lord. He is their help and shield. We worship by God's grace in Jesus Christ, the true and living God. And the Bible tells us that God is spirit. He doesn't have a body like men. He has no physical mouth, and yet he certainly does speak. And he has spoken. As we come to Exodus chapter 20, we've already considered from verse 19 the way that God brought the Israelites under Moses to the desert and to the mountain, Mount Sinai, in order to prepare them to receive his law. The devastation of sin, their dependence upon him, and their dread of him in the way that he manifested his glory. Exodus 19, you remember, was the preface to the preface of the preface of the Ten Commandments. Usually, the introductory words of the Ten Commandments, the preface, are found here in verse 2. I am the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. Those are the introductory words for the giving of the law. But they are not where chapter 20 begins. It doesn't begin in verse 2. It begins in verse 1. And so tonight, we have the way that the actual preface, the more literal preface of the Ten Commandments, is introduced. And it's something stated so plainly, so simply, so prosaically that we might easily or quickly pass over the words in verse 1. But if we pause, as we are doing tonight, and think and reflect by God's grace, we'll see how important the words in verse 1 really are. Exodus chapter verse 1, Exodus 20 verse 1, "And God spoke all these words." And God spoke all these words. Those are words that we can say and read and memorize even without really engaging with the weightiness of the reality that they communicate. And God spoke all these words. You see, when we hear something, we often want to know who is behind the words. Words can come to us, but we want to know who is behind those words. You know, often when children, some children anyway, are told something or told to do something, I've heard children say, "Oh yeah? Who says?" Have you ever heard anything like that? Something is told, you maybe need to do something, maybe a brother or sister says, "Oh yeah, who says?" That's something that kids can say, but it's also something that adults can say. Because what we know about a person's authority and power and seriousness and faithfulness and love and concern can make all the difference as to how we receive what we hear. And sometimes that's an authoritative voice. When you see the lights flashing in your rearview mirror and you hear over the loudspeaker, "Pull over." I don't think we say, "Oh yeah, who says?" Or if my neighbor says, "Hey Matt, you should cut your grass," I might hear that in a different way than if Tara, my wife, would say, "Matt, would you please cut the grass?" The person behind the words makes all the difference. And so here we're coming to the Ten Commandments. We're coming to the law of God. And people might be tempted to say when they hear these commandments, "Oh yeah, who says?" And we come, you know, as the church, we come speaking into our culture. "You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. Let alone, you shall have no other gods before the true and living God. You must keep his Sabbath day holy," and these sorts of things. And our culture really, in effect, says back to us, "Oh yeah, who says? Who says?" Now, the law of God may come to us through many means. These commandments may come to you through your parents, or through your teachers, or your pastors, or your elders, or at times even indirectly through the government, insofar as they're in keeping with these commandments. But ultimately, we have to remember verse 1, "And God spoke all these words." Whose authority lies behind these Ten Commandments? Well, it's God's authority. It's divine authority. If these were just the laws of men, just social constructs, as people say, then we might have a legitimate place to question or debate or even reject or break these laws. Because if man is the final authority, then the question is, which man? Which men? And why not me? I was listening to a clip. It's just a clip, so I hope I'm not taking it out of context. Jordan Peterson, the U of T prof, was speaking on the marijuana legislation. And one of his arguments for legalizing marijuana was this: well, When so many people are breaking the law, then the law should be changed. That was quite a fascinating and frightening statement to hear. If enough people are breaking the law, then the law should be changed. That sounds to me simply understanding law as a social construct. It's just what a society or a culture agrees to do, and the majority agrees to something, then the law will reflect that. That's frightening logic. Would he apply that same thinking to stealing or murder or rape if the majority of people started committing those crimes, those sins? You know, while governments may make laws that can change when those laws are about lesser debatable things like parking or zoning or something, those laws can change. But behind these 10 commandments, this summary of the moral law is an eternal voice, an unchangeable voice, a sovereign voice. And it applies to each one of these commandments. Not one of them is excluded. And God spoke all these words. You see how important this first verse is? God spoke all these words. Because there is no voice like the voice of the Lord. It's the voice of creative power. And God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. It's the voice of providential power. Behind everything that happens in this world is the voice of God, as it were. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due His name. Worship the Lord in the splendor of His holiness. The voice of the Lord is over the waters. The glory of God thunders. The Lord thunders over the mighty waters. The voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is majestic. The voice of the Lord breaks the cedars. The Lord breaks the cedars in pieces, the cedars of Lebanon. He makes Lebanon leap like a calf and Syrian like a young wild ox. The voice of the Lord strikes with flashes of lightning. The voice of the Lord shakes the desert. The Lord shakes the desert of Kadesh. The voice of the Lord twists the oaks and strips the forest bare, and in His temple all cry glory. That's the voice of the Lord. You know, at the time of the giving of the Ten Commandments, Deuteronomy 4 says, Moses says, "Then the Lord spoke to you out of the fire. You heard the sound of words, but saw no form. There was only a voice, but it was the voice of the Lord." Deuteronomy 5:22 says, "These are the commandments the Lord proclaimed in a loud voice to your whole assembly there on the mountain from out of the fire, the cloud, and the deep darkness." And He added nothing more. Then He wrote them on two stone tablets and gave them to me. The voice of the Lord, then the finger of God writing those words down. Deuteronomy 18, Moses reflects, "This is what you asked of the Lord your God at Horeb on the day, the assembly, when you said, 'Let us not hear the voice of the Lord our God, nor see this great fire any more, or we will die.'" That's what it says at the end of the passage that we read. They said to Moses, "Speak to us yourself, and we'll listen. But do not have God speak to us, or we'll die." The voice of God. In a scene resembling Sinai, David wrote in Psalm 18, "The earth trembled and quaked, and the foundations of the mountains shook. They trembled because He was angry. Smoke rose from His nostrils. Consuming fire came from His mouth. Burning coals blazed out of it. He parted the heavens and came down. Dark clouds were under His feet. He mounted the cherubim and flew. He soared on the wings of the wind. He made darkness His covering, His canopy around Him, the dark rain clouds of the sky. And out of the brightness of His presence, clouds advanced with hailstones and bolts of lightning. And the Lord thundered from heaven. The voice of the Most High resounded." That voice reflects the power, the might, and the authority of God. And that should make us tremble. It should make us tremble. To tremble at the voice of God is not wrong. Has my hand not made all these things so that they came into being, declares the Lord? These are the ones I look on with favor, those who are humble and contrite in spirit and who tremble at my word. Isaiah 66, verse 2. You see, the sheer authority of God as our creator should humble us as creatures. Even before the law itself then humbles us as sinners. And if we lose the sense of that first aspect of reverence, it won't be long until we lose the second. If we don't come before God with the reverence and awe that He is due as our Creator, it won't be long until we start rejecting this law. When people forget or reject or deny God as Creator, it is inevitable that they will not long acknowledge Him as lawgiver and judge. The voice of the Lord. God spoke all these words, saying, and the people said to Moses, "Moses, you speak to us, and we'll listen, but do not have God speak to us, or we'll die." But is that all we see in the Bible? Creatures, sinful creatures, cowering as they hear the voice of God, their creator and judge. Well, thankfully, no. Thankfully, no. In the past, God spoke to our ancestors through the prophets at many times and in various ways, but in these last days, He has spoken to us by His Son, whom He appointed heir of all things and through whom also He made the universe. In the Old Testament, God spoke about the Son to come. And we know that in the fullness of time, He came and God spoke, the Word made flesh. And when Christ was on the earth, His disciples heard the voice from heaven, Matthew 17, the transfiguration. While He was still speaking, a bright cloud covered them, and a voice from the cloud said, "This is my Son, whom I love. With Him I'm well pleased. Listen to Him." The Bible tells us that Jesus, the last Adam, is the Lord our righteousness. And as He suffered on the cross, then God was silent in His wrath. But Jesus is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, who takes away the sin of all those who trust in Him. That's what we need to remember as we come to these words. The writer to the Hebrews reflected on Exodus 19 and the gospel when he wrote in Hebrews 12, to Christians, "You have not come to a mountain that can be touched and that is burning with fire, to darkness, gloom, and storm, to a trumpet blast, or to such a voice speaking words that those who heard it begged that no further word be spoken to them, because they could not bear what was commanded. If even an animal touches the mountain, it must be stoned to death. The sight was so terrifying that Moses said, 'I'm trembling with fear.' But you have come to Mount Zion, to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem. You have come to thousands upon thousands of angels in joyful assembly, to the church of the firstborn whose names are written in heaven. You have come to God, the judge of all, to the spirits of the righteous made perfect, to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the sprinkled blood that speaks a better word than the blood of Abel." What a blessing. Because as we'll see, the God of verse 1 is also the covenant Lord of verse 2. God spoke all these words. That's the authority, the power of God. The Lord brought you out of Egypt. The covenant Lord, I am that I am. There are two obligations on us to listen to and obey this law, a creation reason and a salvation reason. And as both come together in a believer, then we have that gospel balance and sometimes even tension, perhaps, that there is fear and do not be afraid at the same time. Fear and do not be afraid. Speak to us yourself and we will listen, but do not have God speak to us or we will die. But Moses said to the people, do not be afraid. God has come to test you so that the fear of God will be with you. You see, that's what a Christian understands. Do not be afraid. The fear of God is with you. But this is mingling together of God as our creator and our lawgiver and our judge. And God in Christ is our Savior, Redeemer. Because you see, the temptation is, the pitfall is, and when people come to Hebrews 12 and say, we have not come to a mountain like that, we've come somewhere else. That the whole notion of fear and awe and reverence is swept away. But it's not. It wasn't then. It's not now. Fear of the Lord and don't be afraid are mingled together in perfect gospel harmony. The fear of death and condemnation is removed through faith in Christ. There is therefore now no condemnation. But the reverence and awe must remain, even as believers hearing this law. Because it's very instructive that right after Hebrews chapter 12 speaks about the mountain that cannot be touched, and then the sprinkled blood of Jesus in Mount Zion in verses 22 and 24, that the letter to the Hebrews continues. See to it then that you do not refuse him who speaks. If they did not escape when they refused him who warned them on earth, how much less will we if we turn away from him who warns us from heaven? At that time, his voice shook the earth. But now he has promised, once more I will shake not only the earth, but also the heavens. The words once more indicate the removing of what can be shaken, that is, created things, so that what cannot be shaken may remain. Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, let us be thankful and so worship God acceptably with reverence and awe, for our God is a consuming fire. God spoke all these words. Beloved, how casually some people, or at some times, how casually we can come to God's law. Do you know why that happens? It's because we first have come casually to God. If we're coming casually to the law of God ourselves, or if we're interacting with people who are very casual about the law of God, know this, they are first coming casually to God, because God spoke all these words. It's reflected in many ways. People can come to worship in ways that they wouldn't even go to a job interview. And I'm not just focusing on externals, though externals are part of life. There is a wrong and sinful way even to judge by appearances, I know. But we need to ask ourselves if how we come to worship and then how we live our lives every day might not be evidence of a less than reverent thinking about and listening to God. Every generation of the church needed to hear this call, this corrective. And again, it's in Hebrews, this time earlier in Hebrews chapter 3. So as the Holy Spirit says, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts, as you did in the rebellion during the time of testing in the wilderness, where your ancestors tested and tried me, though for 40 years they saw what I did. That is why I was angry with that generation. I said, their hearts are going astray, and they have not known my ways. So I declared on oath in my anger, they shall never enter my rest. See to it, brothers, that none of you has a sinful, unbelieving heart that turns away from the living God. but encourage one another daily as long as it is called today, so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. We have come to share in Christ if indeed we hold our original conviction firmly to the end. As has just been said, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as you did in the rebellion. God spoke all these words, saying, may we rather imitate little Samuel. The Lord came and stood there, calling, as at other times, Samuel, Samuel. And then Samuel said, speak, for your servant is listening. In Deuteronomy 30, we read that it was Moses' dying desire that the people of God would, it's verse 20, love the Lord your God, listen to his voice, and hold fast to him, for the Lord is your life.